You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Seems you're ready for the real thing. Click the play button. Let's get started.
And Daryl.
I'm on the hunt. I'm after you.
Greetings and welcome to episode 121 of The Training Dummies, recorded on February 23rd, 2016. My name is Daryl, and I'm still talking about video games on the internet and have not written a new intro in 3 years, I think. And with me this evening, who has also not written a new intro, is Rob. How you doing, Rob?
Why start now?
I know.
You know? Mm-hmm. We're doing it. We're having fun.
Exactly. That's what the guests are for. They write the show notes, right? Not us.
Right.
As always, since we have a guest, our guest this evening, let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to Gloria. How are you doing this evening, Gloria?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
All right.
Oh. That wasn't a big Training Dummies welcome.
No, here's the big welcome.
All right. Gloria, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
The super awesome thing about this episode tonight is that this is literally a listener sponsored, listener suggested, listener inspired episode, because after a couple of some back and forth and some comments, somebody was like, "You must have Gloria on, please, please, please," and we're like, "Duh, why haven't we done this so far?" So we're excited to have you on, and we're excited to give the people what they want. The people demand it.
It's nice to feel wanted.
We're going to talk about some pet battles tonight.
But yeah.
Before we get into the good stuff, we'll talk a little bit about you, Gloria. We'll get to know you. For those of you who don't, the three people out there who don't know who you are. Would you like to tell us when you started playing and what is your current main?
I actually started the day after Christmas, the year that WoW launched. So I think that was like a month after the game actually started. And my current main is a Draenei Shaman. She was my original Troll Shaman from when I first started playing in vanilla. And I faction changed her over when Warlords of Draenor started so that I could kind of pick up where I left off with her.
Shaman, awesome. Though, that you rolled right at the beginning is still your main. I'm the same way. That's awesome. Sure.
Right.
I just couldn't let her titles and like all her tabards and stuff go, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't have that knight captain title just sitting there unused.
Do you raid on your shaman?
Yes, but I've taken a break just because I got a little bit drained after Blackrock Foundry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to start raiding again in Legion, but for right now I just can't. I'm really not interested in doing the 2 to 3 nights a week for a couple of hours. It's just not feasible.
Yeah, I get you. Totally. That's why we do one night a week hardly any hours.
Yeah, they did it one night a week too. And I just, eventually, you feel kind of beat down after a while. And I love my guild dearly. So I'm so glad that like I can get back in there with them in Legion and start doing it again.
Nice. What is the origin of the name Gloria Boboria, as many from Twitter may know you as?
I used to write for a small gaming site, just kind of a gaming review site, blog style type deal. And the alias I used on there was Gloria. I think I just came up with it on a whim. And ever since I used it to write for that site, I've just really, really liked the name. So when I came to Twitter, it was like, please choose a name. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. So of course Gloria was taken. So I was like, I'll type something completely random and hope it works. And it did. And I've stuck with it ever since then. I'll probably never change it.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
Probably all the people that I've met, the guilds that I've been in. I've been in a lot of guilds where there are people to this day who I remember the names of. My fondest memory probably has to be my first rag kill, because that was just the first quintessential raiding accomplishment in my WoW career. And nothing really compared since then to the sight of that hammer dropping and just 40 people in Vent, or not. Yes, it was Vent back then.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Everybody just kind of screaming into the mic, and I was just like, because I was pretty much brand new to the game, probably only a couple months into it, and they just had taken a shot on me because I was a healer, and I mean, you know, back then you needed like 30 healers in your raid. So they took me along, and I was like, wow, this is so great. I'm addicted to this. I'm gonna come every week and do this forever and ever.
Awesome.
That is good. Besides Warcraft, what is your favorite Blizzard title?
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but World of Warcraft is actually my first Blizzard title. So it's the one that I've known the longest. So I unfortunately don't have as much experience with like the Lost Vikings and Rock and Roll Racing like other people do. But in terms of recent Blizzard titles, probably Heroes of the Storm. I was really big into the testing phases when it first launched. And I kind of fell off, I think, but I'm hoping to get back into it eventually at some point when time starts growing on trees and there's more of it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Time is a commodity I don't have.
Yeah, I'm a huge Heroes fan.
It's a great game. It's the first MOBA that I've actually played that I've actually been able to like actually stick with and understand.
Yeah.
I know that sounds terrible, but hey.
I'm the same boat.
Oh, doesn't sound terrible at all. It sounds like fairly common, I guess, really. What would you say is your favorite raid boss?
Oh my god, this is a really tough question because there have been so many. I would say probably, it's going to sound really, really silly, but Heroic Twin Valkyr in the Argent tournament, just because that fight, I think they originally based it on the bullet hell type games where there's just, you know, pew, 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 like, you know, you're trying to dodge all those bullets. And the Twin Valkyr were the two that had the black and white orbs that would bounce around the arena. And you had to pick a color at the start, either white or black. And then you had to kind of pick up those power up orbs so that they didn't get them and get a buff. And we, our guild, when we were doing the heroic temps, we had specific people that were designated to run around and grab the orbs before they could hit the rest of the raid and go off. And I was one of those orb people. So I spent so many attempts just running around the arena trying to grab these gosh darn orbs. And it's just one of those raiding memories that sticks out so fondly in my mind, even though it was like, I don't think I would ever do it again, honestly.
It's because you had Ghost Wolf, right?
That's funny.
I think I was actually playing my mage at the time. Oh, so okay. I was blinking into everything.
Gotcha.
But it shows you how good of a DPSer I was that they didn't want me actually doing DPS. They wanted me collecting all the orbs instead. That's why I went back to my shaman.
That's perfect. Nice.
What is your favorite thing to do in game right now?
I think this is an easy answer. It's probably pet battles. That's probably the thing that's kept me playing for the longest. But besides that, I'd say, you know, gold collecting, timed events like the Mythic Dungeon event, and also playing my Death Knight alt have really, really helped keep me in the game while we're waiting for the next little batch of content to come out, which I'm really excited about.
I'm glad you have a Death Knight alt.
I love her so much.
What spec do you play?
I play Frost because some
yes.
people recommended it as yes. being kind of an easier learning curve. And I have to say, like I said about my mage, I'm not the best DPSer in the world. So having a class that I can actually play and still make a couple of mistakes on, mm-hmm. but still kind of be middle of the pack DPS and not actually, you know, a complete carry mm-hmm. is really, really nice. So I really enjoy that.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Frost has kind of an easy, or it's more forgiving, but I don't know. It's just too fun, man. Just hell blasting really cool. everything.
Yeah, especially when like the procs go off like right after one after the other. It's like, yeah.
Yes, perfect. Do you have like the class trinket, or are you doing the?
No, she's really decked out in like the Baleful and Mythic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would love to be able to actually get in to like do some raids with her, but it would have to be raids with friends in them because I think I would be kicked out of a random raid group.
Yours is a Dirty Alliance too, right? So
no, my Horde is actually, or my Death Knight is actually really? Horde. Yeah,
interesting.
She's on Storm Rest Accord, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No.
All right.
Because we're going to talk about pet battles. So.
All right, then. Let's do this, then.
This is Troxism from Limit, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Coblin, and Daryl is at I don't know what my main is.
All right, then. That would be hend_TTD.
Oh, right.
Yeah. All right, so I went and looked back, and the only time we've ever done a pet battle episode was right when it was released. It was episode number 17 in like 2012, I think. So
yeah, it's been a while.
So we're due for a pet battle episode, and I'm sure lots has changed in that time. So, Gloria, do you want to just kind of take us through and where to start? And
sure.
Let's jump right in.
All right. If you're interested in getting started in pet battles, head to Stormwind or Orgrimmar. There's two trainers there that can train you to actually be able to use your spots in your pet journal. I wish they just unlocked automatically, but it's like your riding skill or whatever else like that. You have to actually learn it from a trainer. And once you've unlocked your slots, my honest suggestion at that point is to go back to your garrison and speak to the quest giver in your menagerie. They give you a quest where you can actually just walk over to your mine and loot something, and you'll get a stone that automatically gives one of your pets 25 levels. So you'll get your first fully leveled pet in like 2 seconds, which is totally worth doing. Nice. Once you have your first level 25 pet, it gets a lot easier to level your other pets because you can use the substitution method where you start a fight with your lower level pet out and then swap it out with your higher level pet, and the lower level pet gets the experience, which I'm sure folks are used to from, you know, RPGs and stuff like that. It works the exact same way. So basically you want to get in there and get a pretty good roster of upper level pets, level 25. There's a lot of helpful ways to do that. There's a lot of ways you can get training stones to help with that. And of course there's the pet battle event where you get the 200% experience buff, which makes it really, really easy to just go to like Frostfire Ridge or somewhere like that and just grind out all the pet battles. In terms of what pet to use your level 25 stone on, it really comes down to personal preference, because a level 25 pet is pretty much going to steamroll most lower level 25 pets or most lower level pets in the wild. My suggestion would be to use it on a good leveling pet, which would be something like a Zandalari Knee Biter or Ankle Render, anything else like that, which is a beast pet with a couple of moves like gosh, I can't remember what it is, but basically they heal after a couple of turns. So you can kind of go and just kind of use that pet without needing to go back to your garrison to the stable master to heal. And just kind of, you get into a zone. It's like leveling and all. You get into a pet leveling zone where you just go through and you battle a whole bunch of enemy pets and just level your pets up. And it's kind of mindless, a little bit like fishing, but sometimes that's what you need in game. You know, you need something you can that keeps you occupied but not fully occupied, just takes your mind off stuff. You can watch streams or listen to podcasts while you're doing it. It's really nice. The three pets, or rather four pets, that you're probably going to want to get leveled up right away are going to be an Anubisath Idol, Pandaren Water Spirit, Emerald Proto Whelp, and then the Chrominius, because those are the pets that you can use to pretty much beat almost all the tamers in the game. I shouldn't say that. Let people discover it on their own.
So where do you get those pets, though, then?
Yeah, I was going to say, are those hard to come by? Or
no. Just head over to your local auction house. They're usually available for like 2,000 gold at max.
Okay, what if I'm really, really cheap?
If you want to do it yourself, it's a little bit more challenging. The Pandaren water spirit comes from the Pandaren elementals in the Mists of Pandaria areas. If you beat them, they give you a little bag, and the bag has a chance to contain one of the Pandaren elemental pets. So sometimes it takes a little bit of luck to get one of those, but okay. You're going to need to beat the Pandaren water spirit or elementals anyway to actually get your achievements done. So it's probably something you're going to want to plan on anyway. The Anubiseth idol comes from the Temple of AQ. I believe it drops off the Twin Imps. And,
right, okay, I remember that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have that one.
Mm-hmm. And then the Emerald Protowhelp comes from the Frenzy Heart eggs. Or not the Frenzy Heart, the Oracle eggs, I believe. So unless you have a character that is on, you know, good terms with them, since it's from, like, Wrath of the Lich King, it might just be easier to just pop that one off the auction house. Okay. And then the other one, the Chrominius, drops from Blackwing Lair, from his namesake. From, I can't remember his name. Big dog guy.
Chrome something.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. After the Drakes, but before Nefarian.
Right. Okay.
And those are kind of the pets that you can use a strategy to kind of knock a lot of the stuff out really easily, but that's kind of if you want to go the easy way. I'd encourage anybody who has like favorite pets that are kind of off the wall to just kind of level them on their own. I think my first set of pets that I leveled up was a little Deathwing pet from the Cataclysm Collector's Edition, Moonkin Hatchling, which I abandoned halfway through. Rest in peace.
What made you do that?
The Moonkin Hatchling's moveset was not. was not so hot to the point where I was doing it the old-fashioned way when Mists of Pandaria launched. So I was actually going around all the zones in Azeroth to fight pets that had the same level as my pets. Uh-huh. And as I was going through and doing that, the Moonkin Hatchling did not have a very good type advantage against a lot of the ones that were in the wild. So it was just getting its butt kicked up and down. And when your pets are level 11 and you're fighting like other level 11, 12 pets, it gets to be really dicey sometimes. So I was like, goodbye. I can't remember what I replaced it with, but poor little guy. I don't think I've ever finished leveling him.
A little bye, Felicia.
Yeah. I was like, have a nice, he's in my pet journal, I think at like level 12 or something. Just kind of chilling.
So, There is such a thing as a pet just being like kind of garbage, or at least their abilities like don't really bring much to the table.
That's correct. Which I'm kind of one of those people where I'm like, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, all pets kind of have value, mm-hmm. but there are a couple that even in the pet battling community, you're probably never going to see in any like strategy guides or any PvP guides or anything like that. Uh-huh. And the Moonkin Hatchling is definitely one of them. The other one,
because
I think
it's
of
a druid.
Yeah, pretty much, huh?
Well, the other problem with it is there's two different types of the Moonkin Hatchling. There's the Alliance version and then the Horde version.
Right.
And they actually both count as separate pets, which I kind of don't agree with. So if you level the Alliance version and then you swap to a Horde character, you can't use it anymore, which just seems really weird to me, but hey, I guess it counts as two pets in your pet journal, so whatever. But the other one that I can think of is unfortunately the Cinder Kitten from the Blizzard store. Okay. Super cute, love it to death. Uh-huh. But I really only leveled mine for the sake of having it at level 25.
Yeah, see, I feel like now I've got what, 11 or 12 100s now. And I've gone across all of them and done the go and get the free one. But I feel like now I'm looking at it going, I think I screwed something up, because all these ones that I thought were cool, you're like, oh, no, it was kind of trash. And I'm like, well, crap, man.
Well, the nice thing is they're always going to be okay in terms of wild battles. So, like, uh-huh. if you wanted to use them to catch pets in the wild, you're probably going to be fine. But then if you actually wanted to, like, fight the tamers in your menagerie or go into PvP battles, uh-huh. yeah, probably not going to work out so hot, at least until there's some kind of weird synergy discovered with another pet. Like, for the longest time, I thought the Blossoming Agent was really bad, uh-huh. Which is another pet store pet. Uh-huh. But apparently, if you combine it with, You know, I always feel weird saying pet names because they sound so goofy. But if you combine Blossoming Ancient with a Singing Sunflower,
okay,
they turn into a really good combo because they have so much synergy between their moves. The Sunflower has a weather move that basically makes it so that healing abilities do more. And the Blossoming Ancient has, I think, two or three healing abilities, so it ends up working out really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes they can surprise you, but yeah, like in the case of like my poor Moonkin Hatchling, he's probably never going to see the inside of a pet tournament.
Yeah, it's too bad. How many of them are there that are just bad? No way around it.
How many rats and rabbits and cockroaches and stuff are there out in the world? Because there's a lot.
So something is. Does the quality matter as much too? So if you see something that's just common or rare or what is the green?
Uncommon.
Yeah. Is that just kind of like, well, not even worth it?
Well, I'm lazy. So if I see them out in the wild and they're uncommon or gray, I'll just catch them anyway just to put them in my pet journal. Because there are ways to make up for that. You just toss a flawless stone and it automatically upgrades them to rare. But if you have grays in your journal, you don't want to actually use them in any of the content because they're just going to get their butts whooped. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's worth catching them if they're particularly like a rare pet. Like if you're hunting for the Unborn Valkyr, which is one of the rarest wild pets because it has specific spawn times, specific places. If you ended up catching a gray one of those, it's totally worth it to just keep it and just upgrade it to rare once you get a stone to upgrade it.
Uh-huh.
So, and like I said, I'm lazy. I'll just go through, like when Warlords launched, I just went through every zone and just caught everything I needed to get the Safari achievement. And I was like, I'll just sort it out later. But you don't ever want to go into a tamer or a PvP battle with a gray or an uncommon.
Okay.
It's like going into Hellfire Citadel on, you know, a level 55. It's not going to work out.
Okay. It's good to know. I mean, I wouldn't generally if I just had a white or a green one. I don't even think I would really care. I would probably try and upgrade it first. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. Now that the stones are so prevalent, it's just a good idea to just have a couple on hand and go for it so that you can just upgrade your favorite pets. There are some in my journal that are still gray because I'm never going to use random rabbit A that came from, you know, somewhere out in Northrend because I've already got 80 other rabbits. So it's just pointless to upgrade it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun system. It's one of those symptoms that's easy to get into and then takes a little while to actually master. But now that we're kind of getting into the home stretch of Warlords before Legion, pet battling is kind of one of those things that you can do if you don't really have that much else to do aside from log in once a week to raid. Because pet battles, a lot of people, they're like, oh, I don't want to do Pokemon. Like, I don't want to play Pokemon in my WoW. And I'm like, no, you're kind of missing out, honestly. Because it's something to do. It's a pretty good way to generate gold, even if you're not interested in actually doing the battles. If you get, like, if you wanted to go into AQ and farm an Anubisath idol, that's 2,000 free gold right there. Especially if you level it up.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, as long as you know what pets to go for, like the Anubisath idol, Chromanius, stuff like that, you're going to make good money from the people who are constantly getting into the system and looking for those pets to actually add to their collection because they're like me and they're too lazy to go out and farm them themselves. And then the dailies themselves are, for the amount of effort you're putting into them, I think you get a bag that has like 5 or 6 gold in it. And if you think about it, that's like a 20-second pet battle for 5 or 6 gold. So I just fly around Tanan and get those done in like 10 minutes. And that's like an extra 100 or so gold for my Death Knight, who I was desperate to get gold on when I first boosted her to level 100.
So like if you're playing on another server or, you know, somewhere else other than your main, it's a good way to kind of boost that income. Okay.
Yep,
that makes sense.
Your pet journal is account-wide, which is another really nice thing. If I'm ever making a character on a new server, I'll go through my pet journal and see what extra pets I have and just toss them on the auction house and get, you know, a quick buck that way, too. So they're a pretty good I don't want to say they're like the stock market, but they're a pretty good investment to make, especially if you have a whole bunch of alts.
Would you say it's better to level a pet before selling it on the auction house then, or is, does it matter?
That's a really good question, because the answer is yes and no at the same time.
Right, okay.
You're going to get more money for a leveled pet, but it's going to take longer for it to sell. And the reason is a person can't learn a pet unless they have a pet of equal level in their journal. So if you've never gotten into pet battles at all and you see a level 25 Chromineus on the auction house and you're like, I'll snag that right now. Easy peasy, level 25 right away. Yeah, you can't learn it.
I learned that the hard way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but now that
the first one, I was like, oh, sweet. And I went and bought like a level 25 pet, and I was like, the Price is Right fail. And I'm like, wait, what?
To be fair, it happened to me too. I leveled a whelpling up as a gift for a friend. Mm-hmm. And I traded it to him. He was like, oh, I can't actually learn this. And I was like, gosh darn it. I thought I had a really thoughtful gift.
Oh, that sucks. Like, yeah, I mean, I
played myself.
Yeah, that's rough. Okay, so I want to get back into the leveling of the pets here, because right now I have, I think it's three, no, it must be four level 25s, because right before Warlords dropped, I did manage to get a team up to level 25, like a set of three. And then I did use my main to get the one pet battle stone. I think I've only done the one on my shaman. So I have four level 25s. Now, what is the easiest way? Like, how do I go ahead and level more pets? Like, I know you said swap one out, but where is the best place to do that, et cetera?
Well, you can find a lot of guides to basically two versus three certain tamers, which is honestly the fastest way to power level your pets. But it's not the best way for a beginner, because a beginner's probably not going to have all of the specific pets that they need in order to do that. The way I grinded out my leveling achievements or my pet battle achievements for Warlords of Draenor was I went to Frostfire Ridge. And I'm saying this as somebody who is Alliance, so I literally flew across the continent to Frostfire Ridge. And there's little clusters of, I think, the Ravager pets and a couple, like, cockroaches or something else like that.
Wait, you, as an Alliance player, went all the way to Frostfire Ridge in order to order to level up your pet battles?
Yep, because I had, I believe it's a Zandalari Ankle Render, I think. It's the pet that, it's a beast pet, so that does really well against critter pets, which are all over the place in the wild. And it has the ability that heals it, which I just pretty much, so I went and I had that pet as my second pet, and I had some random third pet. And then I would put the leveling pet in the front and have the Zandalari Raptor second, go in, have the leveling pet use one move, then swap in the Zandalari to kill off all the rest of the pets while it healed. And I would just, since the Zandalari pet was healing itself, I would just go through and do that for like a couple of hours. And I think in a couple of hours without really any boosts, any experience boost, I managed to get two or three pets up to level 25.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a really good way if you're it's kind of like fishing. Like, sometimes you just want to go to the Dark Moon Fair and fish for an hour.
No.
No.
No, I don't.
No.
I've never wanted to do that.
Hopefully somebody listening is like me and does that. But you can just do that and just kind of knock it out in a couple of hours, and you can get an idea of which pets level, because I just told you the Water Spirit, Chromineus, and the Emerald Protowhelp. Those are going to be your first three, so that you can actually go in and do the Tanan. I'm sure flying around Tanan, you've seen the little golden pet battle icons, or the big little critters that are kind of sitting there. Those are the pet battle bosses in Tanan jungle. And as long as you have the Hellbomb combo with the Chromineus, Water Spirit, and the Emerald Protowhelp, you can knock those out in like 5 minutes. And they'll give you a bag that has a chance to drop a rare pet and then a fell leveling stone. And the fell leveling stone will give any pet 5 levels. So if you just have those 3 pets leveled up to level 25, you can do that in like 15 minutes every day, get the leveling stones that give you 5 levels. And before you know it, you'll have an army of level 25 pets.
How many level 25 pets do you have?
Oh my God. I've lost track. I know I got the 75 pet achievement, and I just kept going after that. So probably 100, 125. There's a good amount.
That's amazing. I think I have like however many level 100s I have. Maybe a couple more. Maybe like I remember one time on Twitter, somebody was like, "Retweet this, and I'll level a pet for you." And somebody did that, but I was.
There are people who have like set up shops, like they'll sell leveling, but I don't have the time for that.
Well, yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Okay, so what other ways are there to level pets then? So the safari hat, what is, I've heard of this, but I don't know what it is or where to get it.
You get the safari hat from completing the collection achievements in the old world, going through Azeroth and collecting specific pets, like, pretty much just go to a zone and catch every pet, every different type of pet in the zone. And once you get through the ones on Kalimdor and Northern Kingdoms, you'll get the achievement. And can't remember if that's where you get the safari hat, but it's definitely one of those achievements. And then it gives you a 10% boost. It's a toy. So you just use the toy and it puts the hat on your head and gives you the boost. You can take the hat off if you want, still keep the boost.
I remember Hoofit went into raid with that hat on a couple times and didn't know it. Or
yeah, and a fishing pole. And, yeah, something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a little like the fishing pole, but they fixed it in Warlords so that it's actually a toy. So it won't actually unequip your hat, unlike the fishing pole and the chef's apron and stuff.
Right, okay.
That you wear.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it's... I think nowadays it's easier than ever to level pets, which is good. My honest suggestion would be to just get those 3 pets up to level 25 and then just do the Tanan bosses until you get the leveling stones. Mm-hmm. That's going to be your fastest way to do it. If you're like me, you can always just go to Frostfire Ridge, put on some music, and plug it out there too. Or once you start getting a pretty good roster of level 25s, look up the Wowhead strategies for each of the pet battle tamers, or you can go to Leopleurodon's blog, and they have methods for where you can basically use 2 level 25 pets to beat a trainer or beat a tamer. And all you have to do is same thing with the wild pets, just swap your lower level pet in one turn, let it get hit, let it use a move, swap it back out. It gets full experience for the entire battle. So that's technically the fastest way, but it's not necessarily the easiest way. The easiest way is to just go through Tanan. Do it that way. Just get some stones. There's stone for everything nowadays.
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I completely agree with you. I'm very glad they added ways for people to catch up. Because it is weird for me to go into Legion having 125 level 25 pets. Uh-huh. And then somebody's just getting started at the start and has maybe 1. Which, I personally, I want them to get into the relevant content as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to get in there and experience. I wanted them to be able to, at the start of Warlords, the menagerie was really difficult for, you know, non-experienced pet battlers to unlock.
Oh my God.
I harp on this often. Sorry. But it was like, I remember going to the forums at the time and people, just casual players were like, they were so frustrated by it. They were like, just take the menagerie out. I don't want a menagerie.
I was that player.
Oh, man, that quest over there just irritated the heck out of me.
I'm and like, I had a team no, of, no. Like, I had my team of 3 level 25s, and I got wrecked. Like, just annihilated. It was like, this is stupid. I want the menagerie gone so that little yellow exclamation mark is not even on my mini map. I just want it gone. That was my feeling. That was my feeling with it. It really was.
I don't blame you at all. Because the thing was, then you looked at the menagerie and how difficult it was to unlock. And then you have something like the mine or the fishing shack or the gosh darn garden.
Yes, yes. Where all you got to do is go, like, show up and then you're good to go.
Right? So finally, I was so mad. I was like, you can't do this. It's like, new players deserve to get into this content immediately. And this is right. It would be one thing if the Menagerie had been, you know, in the middle of Nagrand or somewhere, but it was right in the middle of their garrison. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're going to want to unlock it. They're going to want to fight the legendary pets that are in there. And they're not going to be able to do that, you know, unless there's an easier stair step to get up to them. And there wasn't a stair step. It was a brick wall. And I mean, even some experienced pet battlers had trouble with that stupid carrot when it first launched because it, you know, people couldn't eat it.
Oh, man, that thing was nasty. Yeah.
So, uh-huh. It was just, you know, and I feel the same way about Legion. I want people who are brand new to pet battling to be able to get out there and at least give it a shot. They shouldn't be encumbered by the fact that, you know, they don't have 50 level one or not. Like, oh my God. Can you imagine having to level pets level 100? They don't have 50 level 25s. And I feel like it should be really, really easy for them to, you know, get a team together to actually be able to get that, to get out there and really start participating.
I agree. I feel like there's the barrier to entry was not because it was difficult to do, but because it just felt like, I don't know these abilities. And like, I ended up leveling, like when you used to be able to level your actual character pretty viably from pet battling.
Yeah.
I was just flying around Ogremar leveling up at everything I could to like level 5 or 10. And next thing you know, you have your character, you know, had gained a ton of experience and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, but then I don't know, they kind of turned that around and I don't know. It was just frustrating to feel like, oh, I put all this time and effort into it and now it sucks. But
yeah.
I don't know. Not that it was, I don't know. I don't want to say it was hard, but I feel like there were so many pets and they all kind of did something very different. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on.
You're completely right. And I mean, if I could change anything, I would probably add a tutorial in there. But I'm not, because with the way WoW is laid out, I don't know if something like that is feasible. It's not like a regular video game where you boot it, like a mobile game or something, where you boot it up and it leads you through a tutorial. I can't say tutorial. But I wish they could put something like that in there, because you get a situation where people are going to use their level 25 stone on their favorite pet. If I was just starting out today, I would use the level 25 stone on the Corgi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, wait, this one is basically nothing useful for nothing more than standing next to me and looking cute. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And the like when Warlords first launched and those tamers were out in the wild and the Menagerie unlock was so hard, people were going up against them with like their three level 25 pets, like their rat, snake, and cockroach, that they caught and leveled up and were still gray. And they were going up against like the stupid carrot that was just kicking their butts. And they were like, I don't understand why I can't beat this. And it's like, oh my gosh, you should be able to beat it is the problem. But
seriously,
I don't know. I'm very much for inclusive. I want there to be tiers of content, kind of like there are in, you know, rating tiers and things already. Like that. That's don't ever go into pet battle PvP because that's where the tears, that's where they really come from, man. But it would be nice if there was, I'm a firm believer in that there should be low level content, mid tier level content in the form of the around the world tamers, and then the upper tier of content, which comes from things like the Celestia tournament or the original Menagerie battles, where you actually have to sit there and plan out something. But there's still other types of content for people who are brand new to the scene to still actually do. So everybody can kind of participate and then work their way up if they want to, or if maybe they're happy just, you know, having their pets wander around the garrison. That's totally cool too. It's whatever. Play the game how you want.
Novel concept.
Okay, you've mentioned, I see here in the notes, okay, you've got easy to learn, difficult to master. So, yes.
No.
Yes. So how do you start?
We'll run with it though, but I still don't think it's easy to learn. I mean, you go out there and you just get wrecked.
Well, it's easy to learn if you're starting from the way you were originally supposed to start, which was, you know, leveling up through the various areas of Azeroth with the appropriately leveled pets. But that's not really how it's done anymore. So that's kind of where I feel something like a tutorial would be really beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like now with the level 100 boosts. You know, a brand new player gets into the game. Are they going to level a character from scratch? Probably not. They're probably going to boost their character to level 100 and be like, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
So Pep Battles kind of suffered that same fate.
Okay, but...
I agree.
So how do these abilities from these other ones synergize? Because that's what you've got here. Is how do their moves work with each other? What are some examples of that? And maybe this is partly why I don't understand Hearthstone, because apparently stuff like that happens in that game too, and I just don't get it. Help me understand how it works in pet battles.
Hearthstone is completely above my pay grade. I'm not going to lie. That game gets to even me too. I tried it for like a month, and I was like, I can't. It's too much luck and too much planning, and I was like, I can't do this. I have an 8-to-5 job.
Yeah, there's praying to RNGesus to help you out. Yeah.
Yep. But with pets, the nice thing is you have your pet journal. You can just open it up, click on a pet, and you can see all their stats. You can see their available moves. And if you take a look at their moves, you can kind of get a feel for what works together or what may work together. For example, there's a move that the Gromlock, which is the, I think, last year's BlizzCon pet, it has a move called Clobber, which is a stun. It'll stun the enemy pet for one round. And then it has another move called Takedown. And Takedown is a move that does a base amount of damage, but if the enemy is stunned, it does double damage. So what you do is you set the move set so that Clobber is one of the moves and Takedown is the other move, and then you use Clobber and you use Takedown and you get the double damage bonus. So that kind of extends... It's like that for some pets, and then you can also set up certain teams that kind of play off of each other. There's moves that change the weather on the battlefield. Thunderstorm in particular is, I think it's actually called Call Lightning, not Thunderstorm, and then it's a lightning storm. It adds a weather effect where every move that you use, it'll do an additional amount of damage. So if you have a multi-use move, in particular, something like Flock, which is one of the flying moves that does, I think, 3 hits.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a move like that, the Flock move with the Thunderstorm is going to do the 3 hits, and then it's also going to get 3 extra hits of damage from the Lightning Storm. So it's things like that. And I mentioned earlier the Singing Sunflower and the Blossoming Ancient. They kind of work together. And sometimes it's fun to go into your pet journal and take a look at your favorite pets and see, oh, hey, you know, this pet is kind of boring on its own, but it's got Call Lightning, and then I have this other pet that has a move that does multi-use, so maybe I can put these two on a team together and make it work together. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice.
Okay.
So to kind of recap a little bit, you think probably the best way to get into pet battling is going to be to go from somebody who doesn't have anything and doesn't know any better, is going to be to go and pick up something from the auction house, or they're going to have to level some, I guess, to a point, right? They're going to have to level their own because you can't just buy the max level pet. So
yeah, but
I guess now at this point of the game that doesn't matter because you do the quest in your garrison, you get the free level, the free exactly. max level, and then you're off to the races.
Yep. Used to be you'd do it the hard way and just plug through the old world levels, but they added that catch-up mechanic, which is fine. So at this point, I would say just pop your first level 25 pet and get in there and start doing the swap out method to boost boost other pets on. Or you can do it the lazier way and just buy the pets off the auction house and just level those up and go and get more leveling stones. Or if you really want to get a feel from the system, just do it the good old-fashioned way. Run around Stormwind and Orgrimmar killing some rats, then move on to, you know, the Barrens, kill pets out there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I think that's what turned me off to it was I tried to do that and it was like, yo, here's a quest to kill a rat in Undercity. So I was like, well, okay, then I'm getting on my mage so I can just, you know, port wherever and, you know, and that was kind of how I did it. And it was like, took forever. And well, I didn't know which abilities to use. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I want, like, if somebody wants to get into it and they don't know, you don't want them to be turned off right away. You don't want them to go in and say, like, you know, spend 30 minutes on it and then go, oh, that's kind of terrible.
Well, it appealed when Myst launched. It kind of appealed to a certain subset, like people like me, where I started doing it and I was like, oh my god, I need to stop and actually level my character up, or I'm going to be doing this right for the next 3 weeks. So that's kind of how I got into it. But now that the system is expanded, I'm glad that they've added these catch-up mechanics so other people can kind of jump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in your situations where you guys already have a couple of pets to 25, I would say just, you know, get a couple of pets up by farming out in Frostfire Ridge, and then, you know, go out to Tanan and start doing the Tanan bosses to get some leveling stones. Because it really is easier to just use the leveling stones and pop, you know, 5 levels at a time on one of your pets. The tamers in the garrison, the menagerie, Leo, and the troll, mm-hmm. or side whose name I can never remember, they also sometimes give leveling stones. And that the traveling heiress and the little goblin, or no, she's a tauren, excuse me, goodness gracious. They show up sometimes, and their pets are really easy to beat. Sometimes they even use gray pets. So you could actually probably beat those with just any rare pets that you have at level 25. And they'll give you a bag that actually has 3 leveling stones in it every single time. And you can actually do it Horde and Alliance side. They'll show up at different days. Sort of like the fur traders or whatever else like that.
Okay.
So you can do those every once in a while and get the leveling stones through there too. So if you're not interested in doing it kind of the old brute force fashion way of grinding, then just, you know, hop in and do it casually and get the leveling stones and do it that way. And it'll probably take a little bit longer to get, you know, 75 level 25 pets, but you're still kind of working at it as you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Or I could just level 75 alts to level 100 and then and get it that way.
Yeah, that would totally work too.
That seems pretty viable.
And also keep in mind, while we know some of what's coming in Legion, we don't necessarily know what, in terms of catch-up mechanics, is coming for Legion 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for all we know, they might actually add another ultimate level 25 stone type quest to Legion to get people caught up there too.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be nice, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So the only place you can get that right now is from a fresh 100, and it has to be a level 3 garrison, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
But all things considered, it's pretty easy quests. You just walk over to the mine and pick up something in the mine, and she's like, oh, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
You'll never see this item again, but here's a rock.
Nice. Okay, I've got my pets open here. Apparently I have 5 level 25s, and I want you to let me know if these are good or bad, because I have no clue. So I have the Corehound Pup.
Is that the one from the recruit, or not the recruiter friend, the
authenticator?
Yes, it's good. It has Howl and it's an elemental pet, so it's really, really good. That was actually one of the first ones I leveled to 25, so thank you for reminding me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
I'm thinking I used my coin on that one, actually. Or the stone, whatever the stone is.
It was a good choice. Howl is a really good move. It also has Burrow, which is a really good move as well. It's a 2. Basically, it dives underground, is impervious to harm for the first turn, and then the second turn it hits really, really hard. And Burrow is also a beast move. It has a beast move and elemental moves. So it's a great combination of moves for a pet. So yes, fully support the Corehound Pup.
Okay. The other one, now this one here, I had no clue. This is one I had no clue. The Darkmoon Tonk I have at level 25. I don't even know how that happened.
That was a good choice too. Fantastic really? Choice. Yep.
It's
one of the best mechanical pets in the game. Well, in my opinion, because it's got Ion Cannon, which is a really powerful move now that it never misses. It also has the Shock and Awe ability. Which is, I think, a 20% chance to stun.
25.
Yes. So, oh, all in all, a really good choice for a pet.
Okay. And then the other 3, this is the team that I leveled up together to get to 25. I got Magical Crawdad, Onyxian Whelpling, and Pandaren Monk.
Okay. The Magical Crawdad is good. It's good for a healing team, which you would need another pet. Well, I think the Crawdad actually has it. It has ability called Wish, I believe, which is a really good healing ability. So that's a good pet. What was the second one? Oh, the Onyxian Whelpling.
Yeah.
Is okay. It's kind of one of those middle of the road pets where it's good to have leveled up, but not as good as something like the Dark Moon Tonk or whatever else like that.
Okay.
But, you know, still an okay choice. Not as bad as the Moonkin Hatchling. Still a good choice. And then the third one you said,
the Pandaren Monk.
Yes. Actually used to be one of the best pets in the game, particularly for PvP. It's still really good, but it's not. They nerfed it. They nerfed it because it was one of those pets that was just dominating the PvP meta back in Mists of Pandaria, actually.
Okay.
But it's still a really good humanoid pet to have, because it gets the humanoid racial bonus, which is a certain amount of healing after every turn. And it's got moves like Jab and things like that, which are really, really powerful when you're using it. I think humanoids are strong against dragons?
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Looks like it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so all in all, pretty good choices. You didn't really have any whiffs there.
Okay, well, that's good.
I probably should have popped my game open and looked, but I don't think it really matters.
Well, you know where I am on Twitter, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I did like the left shark, kind of in honor of one of our guys in the guild. Named it after him.
Nice.
But let's see, I did that, and I don't know. I've got like the cat, the one that you one? Earlier that you said, or the flame kitty, the one that you said is bad. So that one.
It's better than the Moonkin Hatchling, so.
Jeez.
You know.
Nice.
Not last in the race, at least. Still good.
All right.
Enough.
You know what? I'm going to look real quick while we're talking about this. Do we want to move on to maybe the Twitter questions?
Yeah. Well, actually, here, I've got a couple.
Because we do have some questions.
Yeah. Well, this isn't a Twitter question. This is one. Well, it's related to Twitter only because I've seen you tweet about it. But what is this Grave thing that you've been mentioning, or I've seen you mention?
Oh, my gosh. Graves is the tie-in promotional pet from
Storm.
And basically, Pet Battle PvP is unique in that it's a little like regular WoW PvP, and that there's always going to be flavor of the month combinations.
A cheater.
Well... I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but it is kind of really the cheap way to win, the cheesy kind of...
Oh, shoot. I think I have that one at 100. Dang. All right. So where's this at? We go to...
But basically, Graves is right now the combination of Graves, I think the Wee Abomination, and another pet I can't fully recall off the top of my head. They're basically dominating the PvP meta right now,
mm-hmm.
because they have really strong area of attack abilities, which will attack every single pet in your party.
Oh, okay.
So what people they're going into these PvP queues with this really cheesy team, and just basically, like right now, you know, there's the pet battle event going on, and mm-hmm. you can do the quest where if you win, I think, 5-10 PvP battles, you get another level 25 stone.
Oh, wow.
So what this means is you have a lot of people like you guys who have maybe 2 or 3 pets at 25, and they see this quest and they're like, oh, this is super cool. I'm going to do it so I can get another stone. And then they go into these PvP matches and they're just getting eaten alive by these gosh darn Graves teams. And it's just, I'm so glad that they're nerfing it so that it's...
Well, this is why people hate the whole... Pet battle thing. They go in and they get wrecked and like, this is dumb.
Well, the pet battle PvP system is a pile of doo-doo, honestly. There's, I mean, if you think about it, there's a reason that other PvP related things, MOBAs, even WoW's PvPs, they have a rating system.
Mm-hmm.
So that people aren't going into arenas, you know, fresh off the boat and fighting, you know, I don't know, what's a good arena team? That cutie team that won... tournament, I don't know, and they're not fighting those right off the bat, because if you go into fights like that, you're gonna get spanked and you're gonna be like, I never want to do this again.
Whoa.
In my life.
That happens regardless.
Well,
it doesn't matter who I'm matched against, that happens regardless.
I'm the same way, don't feel bad. There's a reason I haven't PvP'd in a very long time, but
yeah.
The pet battle queue is even worse because you have people going in with their gray snakes and cockroaches that they think are really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting wiped out in like 3 turns by people who are using a Graves team. And it's silly. It's just, it's alienating people who are just trying to get into the game, and I don't like it. I wish they would fix it. Make it better.
Let me run down the ones that I have here, and you can tell me how terrible I am. But, all right, so I have the Anubiseth idol.
That's good.
You said that one's good. I tried to name him Noob, but it wouldn't let me. I don't know what happened. The Celestial Dragon.
Pretty good.
I named him Puff.
Yep, it's a pretty good choice.
All right, good. The Cinder Kitten, which you said was bad.
It'd be okay in some situations. Like if you're fighting
mechanicals. Yeah. Well, I named him FU. I'm a cat.
So, okay, maybe don't go into the PvP queue with that name.
Well, you get reported for name. Well, yes. I mean, when you look at it, it looks like it says Fuma Cat. Like
Fuma Cat.
Yeah.
I think we might have a show title. Right. Fuma Cat.
The Fell Pup. He's like the green corgi.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah, that one's fine. Yeah.
Graves, because I thought that was pretty cool, because he came from Heroes of the Storm.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to get a couple of quick level 25, yeah. Take Graves and
pet all right, that. If I want to scumbag it, all right. I named him Gondel's UI because... Because we, one of our guys on our raid team, we always make tell him he has the worst UI ever. But I guess if this guy's really good, he shouldn't be named Gondel's UI.
Probably not.
All right.
They're going to be nerfing him soon, so if you want to get some use out of him.
So go in and get some. Okay, I've got Left Shark.
I mean, it's good because it's an aquatic pet.
Yeah.
Just probably not one of the top tier aquatic pets. Still okay, though.
Well, his name's Jabberjaw, if that helps.
That's a perfect name. You guys want to know what my Darkwing Tonk is named?
I do.
Pinnacle of pet naming. It's named Badonkatonk.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
You guys can steal that name if you want. It's my favorite.
Jeez, I love that. Little Ragnaros.
Perfect. Excellent pet.
I haven't renamed him. His name is Little Ragnaros.
He is very, 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 very good.
Yeah, a friend of mine at one point said that he thought that some of them were pretty good, so I think those are the ones that I leveled originally. One of them, I leveled Mercadin, the one that we got from BlizzCon this last year.
I regret not getting one. I was so stubborn about it, and now I'm like, gosh darn it, I wish I had that pet.
His name is Pepe Slayer.
Oh my god.
I don't know if he's any good in pet battles, but...
I wish I could tell you, but I don't have any experience with him, okay. Unfortunately.
All right, Pandaren Monk.
Yeah, pretty good for a humanoid pet.
His name's Bro, because he's my little bro. And then the last 25 I have is a small frog. It just says small frog. Literally.
Nice. Well, the good news is all of the frog pets are pretty good. So.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I think Justin told me that the frogs are pretty awesome. And I was like, okay, cool. Then I will add the frog in because of the water jet or something like that.
It's actually the frog kiss ability that they have. But,
frog, okay, frog kiss. Oh, okay. And then I guess does the healing matter then? Is it,
yes.
Because I heard that healing on pets is a really good thing to have.
Yep. Aquatic pets are really, really good for the healing stuff.
Well, good. I would say that apart from a few outliers, then I'm not doing too terrible.
Yep. There really are only a few pets where if you told me you'd level them, I'd be like, eh.
Like
I don't know about all that.
Well, and most of those, if not all of them, came from the stones at some point. Or, you know, outside of a couple, they all came from the free ones. So I don't feel bad. But all if right, I wanted well, to go, so I would use Graves and like Little Ragnaros and
you really want to make people mad, use the Pandaren Monk.
Okay. So Graves, Little Ragnaros, and the Pandaren Monk, and go into the PvP?
Yeah, the funny thing is, I bet as soon as people see the Graves, they'll just forfeit. you know? It's to that point right now where people just don't...
Gosh, that's terrible.
I know, and it's, you know, I shouldn't tell you to do it, but at this point, there's so many other people doing it that until it gets nerfed, well, then just go for it. That's what happens.
Nice. So that one obviously isn't that hard to get, but I guess a lot of people who don't play Heroes of the Storm may not feel like they have an option to use that one? I don't know.
I think it just comes down to, you know how WoW players are, in that sometimes unintended things aren't discovered until much later in the development cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And Graves' ability to do really high area of effect damage wasn't really discovered until people started, you know, going ham on it in the PvPQs. So that's, and since it takes a while for things to be tweaked, that's why it's taken so long for it to be nerfed. It's been this way ever since the Pet Battle PvPQ launched. It used to be the Pandaren Monk and then the Fluxfire Feline were the two that were just all over the place. But as they nerf them, newer ones come out. And so it's just a matter of trying to keep up with
stuff. I don't know, man. People are just so reasonable. I can't believe that anyone would take advantage of that.
I know. Right. It's shocking, isn't it?
Nice.
Shocking that people would find an easy way to win and use it multiple times.
Right.
Disgusting. All right. We've got some questions here. So the first one here is from Nin. And they say, what is the one thing people should...
Hold on.
What?
Where did that question come from?
That came from our Discord server, which you can get an automatic invite to by going to our website at thetrainingdummies.com. Is that what you're looking
just
for?
Just thought I would set that up.
Well,
knock that out of the park. All right.
All right. What is the one thing people should know about pet battling but few do? And he gives an example of rematch strings. And since he mentions that, can you let us know what a rematch string is?
I am actually not sure. This is something that that stumped me. But in terms of what people should know but few do, you know, it's really hard to say just because pretty much everything with pet battles is pretty much laid out right there in front of you. But I would say probably just in general the leveling stones. Because I think if you don't pet battle, you probably don't know that you can go out to Tanand and beat those bosses to get a plus five leveling stone,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it was added as a catch-up mechanic. The problem is the people that they added it for have no idea that it exists. So
I didn't know.
It's kind of, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I would like to get out there so that more people can get out there and do it. In terms of pet battle add-ons, for me specifically, there's so many. But for me, I use an add-on specifically called Pet Battle Breed ID. And this takes a little bit of explaining. Pets in the game have what's called a breed, which is hard-coded into them. Their breed affects their stats. So if a pet has a power breed, that means that it has more power than speed and HP. Same with, you know, an HP breed or a speed breed. And they can be combos. Like, they can be speed, HP, where they have more HP and more speed, but less power. But nobody would ever know this just looking at their pets, unless they specifically went in and looked at the stats. Pet Battle Breed ID will actually tell you what the pet's breed is when you actually go into the battle with them, or specifically in their pet journal. So I can't live without it because if you go on the auction house and you're looking for a specific breed, you know, it helps to have that there on your screen so that you can actually take a look at it.
I had no idea that was even a thing.
Yeah, it was one of those more in-depth aspects of it that a lot of people don't know about because it's not specifically stated in the journal anywhere. You really wouldn't know unless you were, like, if you have two frogs or something and you pull up frog one and you're like, oh, it has 300 attack, and then you pull up frog two and you're like, oh, this one has 290 attack. And let's be real, most people aren't going to do that, so it helps to have an add-on to actually kind of handhold you through it, because like I said, I'm lazy, so anything that makes things easier for me, I am I am all about, especially in add-on form.
I like things to be easier.
Yes,
exactly.
Passive. Kranos also posted in our Discord. He said, what pet, battle or non-battle, would you like to have as a pet in real life?
Okay, I'll avoid the obvious answer to this question.
F you, I'm a cat?
Yeah. I would say probably a little Deathwing, because, I mean, how cool would it be to have a little a little dragon following you around. And funny story, I actually named my little Deathwing Edge, which I used to be a really, really big wrestling fan. And I don't know if you guys know Edge the Wrestler. We always used to talk about his rather prominent jawline. That is why I actually named my little Deathwing Edge, because he's got the death edge. Nice.
Love it.
Awesome. So yeah, I'd love to have him following me around in real life too.
Okay, this question was on Twitter from Lita, and she says, "What is your favorite pet team for leveling pets?"
I went over this a little bit earlier, but any of the Zandalari raptors that have the ability that heals them are perfect for leveling, because there are so many critter pets out in the wild that all you need to do is, there's also a cat, one of the cats has it too, I think it's the feline familiar maybe, but you can basically just go out and just level pets with this self-healing pet for hours at a time, because you never have to go back to a stable master to heal. In terms of favorite all-time pet, this is another really obvious answer for me. I love the Molten Corgi, because it took, what, Chex calendar, 5-6 years for them to finally add a corgi.
Right? Seriously.
And now they're adding two more in, which makes me even happier.
Nice.
So that, before it was the Perky Pug, just because Perky Pug, who can be mad at a Perky Pug? But now that the corgis actually exist, heck yeah. Those are going to be my favorite pets forever. And in terms of pets I'd like to see in the game, I already got my wish. So it almost feels selfish to want more in the game. But in terms of what I would like to see, I would like to see different pet families that have more varied movesets. Like I tweeted Jeremy Fiesel, the pet developer, a couple days ago about this. They're nerfing the undead racial, which is good. For those that don't know, undead pets, when they die, they get resurrected for an extra round. So they basically get an immortal round where they can do whatever they want.
Oh.
And they're nerfing it so that they do, I think, 10% less damage during that turn, because it's by and large the best pet racial in the game. Okay. So what I would like to see is I would like to see the pet families, like, say, like a humanoid pet or something that has more flying moves. Or I gave the example of the undead pets. I want to see an undead pet that has more status effect moves. So I suggested an undead wasp that has, like, poison attacks, like more status effects instead of brute force attacks. So I'd like to see more variance in the type of pets instead of the humanoid pets all getting the punch and kick, you know, clobber style moves, and the undead pets getting all the curse moves, and all the flying pets getting the poison.
Yeah, gotcha.
So yeah, stuff like that, just more variants.
There was some more.
Yes.
Oh, I guess that was the rest of that question, huh?
Yeah.
am I reading this right? Quintessence?
Yes.
Says, what toy or item should corgis get? For example, pugs get to wear hats.
I thought about this one long and hard. Is probably the hardest question on here. But I think corgis should get booties. Dog booties.
Booties.
Have you ever seen the little shoes, dog shoes? They make little booties for dogs so that they can go out in the winter or go hiking without having to worry about cutting their paws.
Muttlucks, they're called.
I know it sounds silly. It's even sillier if you go YouTube a video of it. Like, I'm pretty sure you can go to YouTube and type in corgi and booties.
Well, are you going to get, like, a twerking corgi video?
You might. I can neither confirm nor deny that nature. But, yeah, I'd like to see the corgis get some little booties to walk around.
Nice.
You know, because it gets out right there.
Not like a bow tie or a top hat or anything.
Those were already taken by the pugs. I swear, the pugs have a bigger wardrobe than I have. Pugs.
That's ridiculous.
All right. Cinder asks, if the epic battle stones do end up in game, what would be the best first pet to make epic?
Oh boy. It really depends on the type of pets that the tamers are going to be using in Legion. And unfortunately, we have no idea what that's going to be yet. But you're probably not going to go wrong with sticking with some of the standards, like your Chrominius, which is in a lot of the pre-made team compositions for the tamers, or even something like the Anubisath Idol. I swear the Anubisath Idol has been a good pet since the launch of Mists of Pandaria when Pet Battles originally launched. But if the Epic Stones do make it into the game and they are the type of thing that are super rare to get, I would strongly recommend holding on to them until at least 2 to 3 months into the game, once the actual pet tamers are kind of more well known and there's more strategies. So you can make an educated decision to kind of decide which pet would be the best one to use going forward. I wish I could give a better answer to this, but outside of knowing the Corgi tamer in Legion, I don't really know what the other ones are going to be yet. I don't think.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. We can't predict too much. I mean, like, and like you said, Graves is getting nerfed, but Anubisath has been kind of good since the beginning. So, I mean, I guess it's hard to say.
Yep. What's a good pet today might be total doo doo tomorrow. So that's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of, you know, one and done style upgrades like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Annabelle says, what is the best, i.e. cutest, non-corgi pet? Because she probably knew.
Yeah. The cutest non-corgi pet is probably the same as the second portion of this question. And I apologize for getting ahead of myself.
Oh, go ahead. Then we'll add that in. And what's your favorite offbeat battler?
Yeah. What she means is like, you know, like the Moonkin Hatchling, where it's kind of cute, but
the trash tier.
Yeah. And for me, it's kind of the same pet for both of these questions. It's the Egbert pet, which comes from the Orgrimmar Children's Week or whatever quests.
Oh, okay.
It's the little dude that looks like a Looney Tunes character that's in the egg with his big googly face sticking out.
Okay.
Yeah, and he runs around all crazy like when he's out. He's kind of a fun pet in that he has some moves that you don't really see on other pets. He has Feign Death, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Like the hunter.
Yep. Exactly.
Signature. Yeah.
Flops over dead and then it swaps in a different pet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool move, but his other moves, like he has a shielding ability and then just another generic attack ability. So it's one of those pets and I'm like, gosh, this would be, if I can just figure out the right way to be able to use this pet. But after 2 expansions, I haven't really found anything yet. So maybe someday. Maybe someday, Egbert.
Someday.
All right, Chris, a.k.a. Cuddles, asks, are there any pets that we need to get before Legion? That is, anything going away?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. As far as I know, there's only one, but that could change. Like, if, for example, they ditch the promo with Heroes of the Storm and Graves goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that Blizzard always gives ample warning about. In terms of pets that we know for sure are going away, the Dreadwatch Hatchling, which is the guild challenge mode pet that people unlock, that is definitely going away once the new challenge modes are released. Because there was one in Mists of Pandaria too. It was the Thundering Serpent Hatchling. Uh-huh. And that went away as soon as Warlords launched. Now you can still get the Thundering Serpent Hatchling on the Black Market Auction House, but that's not really a viable option. If you're like me and you don't check the auction house like ever. So if you want to get one before it goes away, if your guild doesn't have the challenge mode achievements, find a guild that does, see if they'll let you in. All you have to do is buy the guild tabard that gives you the increased rep. It's outbound, so you can actually buy it on your main and then ship it over to your alt. And then I think for me, it took me to only getting to like level 20 on the character. And then I hit exalted I think you have to hit revered with your guild. And as soon as you hit revered, it's 500 gold. You just go buy it off the vendor. So really it's like probably a half a day project and you can kind of get that pet and not have to worry about it going away in Legion because it's going to. So you might as well just get it over with now.
Is that one that you can get off the auction house then, or is that only from, is that like a bind one that you can only get?
It's, yeah, you can only get it off the guild vendor. Probably in Legion, they'll do the same thing they did with the old CM pet and start listing it on the black market auction mm-hmm. house. But the black market auction house is, you never want to make bets on being able to get anything off that because it's probably not going to happen.
Man, I hate the black market auction house.
It's good for something.
I don't know. I tried to buy something once and like it wasn't even that big of a deal. It was a stupid, I'm going to rant if I talk about this. The Flying in Pandaria tome.
Oh, yeah.
Which, well, somehow we can fly in every other part of the world, but you can't fly in Pandaria unless you're level 90, whatever. So, yeah, I was trying to buy that, and some dude just, like, was just outbidding me, like, nonstop. I'm like, dude, this thing's on... Why is this thing so popular? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's... There's been a problem with Warlords of Draenor in that a lot of us have a lot of excess gold. And I mean, honestly, I don't even play the auction house and I still somehow have over 100k gold. And then there's people who seriously gold cap on like all of their characters.
Yeah.
And they're going to the black market auction house and purposely bidding stuff up to the cap where nobody else can bid on an item. So
wow.
It kind of takes away a lot of the usefulness of the black market auction house. So, I mean, hopefully it'll change in Legion, but who knows?
Yeah. See, Matt here. I believe this is our last Twitter question. Matt says, in what way would you like to see pet battles continue?
I would like to see them start expanding it into an actual storyline. Because right now, the tamers are kind of scattered throughout the world, and you just go fight them for the sake of, because it's a daily quest. You just go fight them for the sake of the daily quest.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to actually see a consistent storyline where the pet battles actually mean something. I hate to bring up other games, but you know, something like Pokemon, where you're actually doing something in the world while you're actually, you know, doing the actual battling portion. So. I'd like to see a cohesive storyline that actually adds to the game instead of just kind of being like, hey, there's a tamer for some reason in the middle of, you know, whatever, High Mountain, one of the new zones. There's just mm-hmm. a tamer just kind of chilling out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you're like, oh, hey, it's tamer. I'm just going to fight him. And then you get your charms and you move on with your day. So I think it would actually be really engaging if there was actually some kind of little mini storyline behind it that people could actually go through.
Sounds good. Yeah, that uh-huh. makes sense.
It's an, I mean, at its core, WoW is an RPG, so it'd be nice to see the lore aspect of it expanded to all aspects. I mean, even the PvP battlegrounds have some lore behind them. There's right. nobody pays attention to it.
Not anymore.
That's fair. What possible changes are coming in Legion then? Like, or that we know of so far?
Well, supposedly they may add in the Epic Battle Stones, which is just going to further increase the gap between new and veteran pet battlers, which I'm mm-hmm. not a fan of. Because as we discussed before, right now there's the three qualities, the common, uncommon, and rare.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this would add another tier of Epic on there, which people would have to collect and basically upgrade the pets that they want up to Epic. Which I would prefer not to see go in. If they put it in, they put it in. I'll do it. But it's just not something. It's just going to add a whole different layer of frustration for a lot of people.
It seems like it's coming, though. I mean, with the natural progression of quality and gearing and everything, I mean, it seems like it's inevitable, maybe.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think we can kind of all agree that the power creep in WoW in terms of gearing characters
mm-hmm.
is very much the same way. If you think about it, you get to cap, you know, after an expansion launches, you wear greens for maybe 2 days, and then you're wearing rares, and then probably within a month, you're wearing all epics.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, kind of, where do you go? You fish for higher eye levels. That's really about it. And mm-hmm. now they're adding an artifact weapons because, you know, they handed everybody a legendary, so where else are they going to go after a legendary? They're going to hand us an artifact weapon.
They felt bad about my RNG luck this expansion, so that's why artifacts were introduced into the game.
So, I mean, it's just, and I kind of think about stuff like that, and I'm like, does that really need to be applied to pet battles too? Because, I mean, okay, in Legion, we're going to upgrade all our pets to Epic. Cool. And then in two expansions, are we going to upgrade them to Legendary?
To Legendary, yep. Yeah. And then you're going to get artifact pets.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I understand why it would seem like an inevitability, because that's how the rest of the game is. But it's something that I would prefer that they not do for as long as possible. And I don't think Legion is a good time to introduce them when there's so many other things they could do, particularly in terms of bridging the gap for people with catch-up mechanisms and introducing them to the game or introducing them to pet battles and things like that. There's other options, basically. Other things to be done.
Makes sense.
Rob, do you have any other questions on pet battles?
No, I think like the biggest question I had was like, I mean, that a lot of people run into, like, what pet should I use? I just did this and I got wrecked. It was not fun. What pet should I use? Because clearly, like, you know, people have taken the time, they figured it out, you know, this is the combo, this is what you want. And until Blizzard makes changes to the pets, then you're going to have your teams and your comps that are just going to be more successful.
That's exactly what it is. And I mean, there's plenty of guides out there, like on WoWhead and on Leo Pluridon's blog, that'll give you kind of a walkthrough of what types of pets to use for what types of tamers. But a good general baseline is just the Anubisath Idol, the Chromanius, the Pandaren Water Spirit, and the Emerald Protowhelp. That's going to get you through a large majority of the content right now, surprisingly. Not sure if it'll stay that way, but for now.
I never expect things to stay, but you know, there will always be a formula.
Yep. And that's fine in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm not gonna lie and say I didn't use guides a couple of times on a couple of the 2v1 or 2v3 tamers, because I mean, I have 700 pets now. Like, you know, like, do I really want to sit there and go through my entire pet journal?
Seriously? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if other people are going to do the work for me, hey.
There you go. Well, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I don't think so. I think we actually covered a lot. I feel bad because it's hard to go super in-depth on a lot of the mechanics without taking up 3 hours of your time.
Right.
All I can say is that certain things, if you're interested, there's a lot of really helpful guides on WoWhead and a couple of other blogs too, which are really great. But
I think it's just way more in depth than people realize.
That's exactly what it is, and that's why whenever people are like, "Oh, I don't want to do Pokemon and WoW," I'm like, "You don't know, you don't understand."
Right. But yeah, it's more than that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's certainly their choice, but I'm like, man, just give it a try, man. Jeez.
Well, for our first time talking this in, about this topic in 3.5 years, I think this was a good general overview to help get people into it, myself included. So, definitely. All right. Well, if you wanna, you can send us an email at the show at thetradingdummies.com if you have anything to add to this topic or have any questions about future topics, or please feel free to leave us a voicemail on that same website. As well, you can join our Discord server, as we mentioned earlier, our Discord server. And the link to get to that is at...
Wait, what was that?
Our Discord server.
Okay.
And we have a link to get you an invite to that at thetrainingdummies.com as well.
What kind of game is this?
What the hell is an Undercity anyway?
How do I run in heels?
Hang on. Is that hip-hop?
Isn't Volstadt dead?
Do you believe in magic?
Whatever happened to Scorch and Fang?
What smells like wet dog?
What's a void ray?
What happened to that silver hand in the sky?
Do you fight with a fish?
Which came first, the Doomhammer or the Doomhammers?
Ready to play?
All right, this is our third time doing this. We call this I Don't Understand, This Is Stupid, as a little trivia game. And we're just going to ask you some quick questions, and you just need to answer them. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right.
You're not sure.
Right. The title of it is I Don't Understand, so I'm just doing what I'm told.
You're allowed to say.
All right. What was my first ever pet store purchase?
Yours specifically?
Yes. This pet was actually mentioned this evening on the show.
The Pandaren Monk.
No, it was actually Lil Ragnaros.
Oh.
Because you could cook on his head. He was a cooking fire. I thought that was so awesome. I had to buy him right away.
All right, Gloria Babaria. What is the biggest issue with Overwatch so far?
Oh my god. Winston is too powerful? I don't know.
Turret Watch.
Oh yeah.
The answer is Turret Watch.
Wasn't... Okay, yeah. No, you're right.
Oh, I know. Sorry, I'm right.
I watch donkey videos and stuff, and like he talks about Winston, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Nice. All right. Close second.
Yeah. All right. What's the name of Brianna's pet shop in Dalaran?
Oh my gosh, it's called the Magical Menagerie or something.
Oh, there you go. Hey.
We need like the you got it right button too.
Oh, we do. I don't have one. We'll get one.
All right, who are the Lost Vikings?
Oh my god, I don't know. Torbjorn, Winston, and...
Seriously, okay. Bastion, Torbjorn, and Winston. All right. Eric the Swift, Balog the Fierce, and Olaf the Stout.
Yeah, I would never play them in here either, so...
Yeah, well, I did, and I won't do it again.
Yeah, I've never tried them, actually. What is the name of the crazy cat lady in Elwynn Forest?
You know what? I feel like I know this one.
I feel like you know this one.
I know it deep down, but I just, it's not coming to me. I know Little Timmy and Stormwind. I also want to say the crazy cat lady is, you know, Quintessence or someone, but, you know, but yeah, I really don't know.
Okay, I've got Donnie Anthania. Does
that sound crazy lady.
All right.
Right. Bonus question. This take it or leave it. What is it? Double down. If you get this question, you win. Okay. In the original Overwatch cinematic, what game is the security guard playing?
Oh my god, that was months ago.
This also came up tonight.
He was playing Hearthstone, wasn't he?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, he's sitting there with like a little tablet and just playing Hearthstone.
Yep, I'm sitting here and I'm like, wasn't it an arcade cabinet? And then like the picture flashed into my head and I was like, no, he was sitting at his desk playing on a tablet. Goodness gracious.
You win. All right, perfect.
All right.
Awesome. I hope they renamed the Lost Vikings in honor of me because those were some great names.
Good stuff.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
Gloria, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it is really cool that somebody actually just made this request for this topic and requested that you come on the show specifically. I think that's really awesome, and I'm really glad that we were able to do this.
Yeah, I'm really glad you had me on. It seems like, you know, there's very few podcasts about this kind of thing, so it's nice to get it out there.
Yeah, for sure. Daryl, thank you for being my bro host. I know we've took a little bit of a week or whatever off, so it's good to be back in the saddle again.
Yes, it is.
And huge shout out, huge grats, huge I don't even know, I can't even describe. We actually killed Heroic Archimonde finally on our own merit this week. So Team Crab Dick, I love you, and we have done it. Daryl, what about you? What do you got?
Well, as you mentioned, a raid team, Team Crab Dick, that was fantastic. That was awesome. We had a couple pulls a couple weeks ago, or I guess it was just last week. We got them below 8% three times, but we were missing one healer. And then this week we had enough healers there. And on our third pull, we got them, and it was amazing. So a big shout out to you guys. As well, everyone in the guild had one job on the Deathwing server. Now I feel like obligated to mention Rob, but it's always.
No. It's so fake. I don't even want your...
You're going to take it, and you're going to like it. And Gloria, thanks for coming on the show this evening. That was... You make me want to get into pet battles a little bit more, just talking about it. So I'm definitely going to try this and see about getting into it a little bit more. So thanks for coming on the show this evening.
Thank you. I've said it like 8 times, but thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here. I like to talk, so it's always good to have somebody besides the corgis listening to me.
All right. What do you got for shout-outs this evening?
I would like to pretty much thank most of the people in the pet battle community. I want to thank Leo Pluridon, for making all of her strats for newbies. All of those are available on her blog. She is available on Twitter under that exact same name, Leo Pluridon. I want to thank Quintessence, who is one of the admins at warcraftpets.com. She does a lot of work there, and she also does a lot of work on her blog, Pet Addiction, I think, at Blogspot. And then I also want to thank Sarin, I think that's how you say her name, from Bear Retirement Home. She's one of the admins on Wowhead that does a lot of the pet battle stuff there. So those are three very hardworking ladies, much more hardworking than I am, since I've used their stuff more than once. And then last but not least, I'd like to thank specifically the WoW Pet Battle team, Jeremy Fiesel, for putting up with me and all my outrageous criticisms and demands and things like that without ever telling me to bugger off. So that's always nice.
Nice. All right. Well, before we wrap this episode up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
Reach me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Gloria Boboria . Switch the at and the name. Yeah. At Gloria Boboria.
Love it.
What was I going to say? Gloria Boboria at Twitter.com. Yeah, right. You can find me there. My blog and my Tumblr are linked from there. I do drawings occasionally, really, really silly drawings. And I occasionally write posts in my blog. So you can hit me up there if you have any pet battle questions. Just be aware, I may refer you to some of Leo's guides if I don't know what I'm talking about. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We are done with episode 121 of The Training Dummies. You can find this one and past episodes of the show over at iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time,
it's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.